And we find the liar in our midst, this little 3-ounce gray matter, has a different place for us. We learn to be still. We learn to fast from this brain wave. And instead of studying brain waves and the dynamics of brain waves, we learn that only the Christ mind can know reality. Only the Christ mind goes to the Father. And so we're not impressed or trying to improve the capacities of this human brain, because it is not a God creation. We don't take that detour. We're not trying to use this brain to influence anyone or to be influenced through this brain. We're not trying to use it as a sword. We're not trying to malpractice with it. We're not trying mind control through the brain of our own mind or of anyone else's mind. We are yielding. And again, the master painter shows that yielding. As the disciples become stronger, as the qualities within begin to make contact with Source, the intellect is beheaded. It has served its purpose. It has brought us to the point where we know we must behead the intellect, and now that is brought forth into the visible. And John the Baptist is no more. Now we're being oned with ourselves. We're coming above that which walked in the wilderness, the human brain, that which could never know God. We've taken it out of its throne and we've put it in a little jar, a relic of the old days of mortality. And we have a new mind, a Christ mind, which once had stood in the wings awaiting our recognition while this little brain held sway. And now we have traded in that brain for a Christ mind. And in that Christ mind, whenever we see an imperfection, we know that we have strayed from the Christ mind. In that Christ mind, we find that whenever we're in it, not straying, the outer world reflects the grace of that Christ mind. It always reflects the perfect activity of God functioning as the Christ mind of you. That Christ mind is infinity individualized as your mind. It is the light that shineth, and in it there is no darkness. And it doesn't make any difference to it what human conditions appear that the brain identifies. The moment you step out of the brain into the secret place, into the capacity to recognize that only the brain misidentifies, you find there aren't 10,000 at your left or 1,000 at your right at all. The Christ mind lives in the kingdom of heaven on earth, and it knows only that which is in the kingdom of heaven on earth. It never becomes a prodigal. It never walks in the world. It only appears in the world to those who live in the world. They are looking at the kingdom of God, thinking it is in their world. And the Christ mind in you is the Lamb of God that John beheld. Behold the Lamb of God. Why? He had stepped out of that 3-ounce brain. He wasn't living in a brain of sensation. He was living in the Christ mind, which is the Lamb of God. Meek unto the Father, innocent, without guile, receiving of the Father, faithful unto the Father, obedient unto the Father, not to the world mind. The Lamb of God, not the Lamb of the world mind. The Christ mind is the Lamb of God. Christ mind, you are the Lamb of God, and the body must show forth the qualities of the Christ mind, because mind and body are one. Then you find the problems have disappeared. They are not existent in the Lamb of God, in that mind which is meek unto the Father within. The disciple is not a disciple anymore. The disciple has dissolved into the realization of Christhood. The Lamb of God has no remnant of human thought. The Lamb of God does not divide and say, God over here is what I want, but on this side of my life I don't want God. The Lamb of God doesn't say, I want God in my domestic relationship, but I don't want God in my business. I don't need God in my business. The Lamb of God lives 100% in the Christ mind, which lives only in God. There's no division of activities, part mortal and part immortal. Everything is lived from the level of immortality. And that which appears in the mortal world is but the overflow from your fourth dimensional consciousness as the Lamb of God in the invisible kingdom on earth. The Lamb of God lives in the invisible kingdom on earth called the fourth dimension, and is not concerned about the third dimension. The moment you're concerned about the third dimension, you're in the brain. You're in that little transient holder of sensations. That's all that's concerned about the third dimension. And the moment your concern is in the third dimension, it's a sign that the Lamb has strayed. The mind is a prodigal. You're not in the fourth dimension. You're not in the Christ mind. And you don't have to improve the third dimension. Just get back into the fourth mind. In the fourth dimension of mind, in the fourth dimension of consciousness. Get back into that Christ mind and watch what happens. The third dimension begins to reflect your fourth dimensional consciousness. So you see, it's an open mind, a Nathaniel mind sitting under a fig tree, a willingness to let go of the material world, to let go of the fishing nets. He didn't say to any of them, come along and I'll give you a higher salary than you're getting. He didn't make any promises whatsoever. Come and see. Come and see. You must leave where you are in order to come and see. You must leave the conditioned brain, the conditioned human mind, the conditioned sensations of this world. All of this is predicated on the need to surrender the way of thought which the human mind has given us. That surrender of the way of thought is basically the substance of this first chapter of John. Give up the human mind. To be a disciple, you must come and see where I live. I live in the kingdom of heaven on earth, he was saying. You can't see me. You can't see where I live if you're still in the human mentality. Come. Leave where you are. Turn from those nets of human thought. Turn from the brain. Turn from the mind that thinks it can climb into a higher thing. Turn from the mind that is looking for a Messiah. Turn ye. First one cries in the wilderness, repent, and then one comes within each one. and says, I am he who will show you how to turn. You turn from the human thought through faith to this which is Christ in you. And you do not look outside for a better world, for a Messiah, for an improvement. You do nothing like that. You turn to this Father within you, who knoweth all needs. You seek your identity as spiritual being by leaving the human mind. Your human mind can never know your spiritual self. And so the excess baggage that we begin to see is the human mind, very clearly. The human mind must be turned around so that instead of looking out and pulling in its impressions, it becomes a channel through which divine thought expresses the invisible kingdom. And that thought being perfect, this turning around of the human mind takes us out of the level of sensation, out of the finite, out of the world, out of all limitation. And the physician within, the real Messiah, is revealed as the Christ mind in you. Christ mind in Andrew, Christ mind in Peter, Christ mind in Nathaniel, Christ mind in everyone who will come and see, who will leave the old mind. The Christ mind receives of the Father, releases us from the fetters of slavery to world thought, taxation to that which oppresses, reveals that the Roman Empire is nothing but karmic law. The entire Roman Empire represents the false sense of power that the human mind gives to physical might. Now then, the goal is established clearly that unless we have the Christ mind, we are limited to human bondage. And that means then that any attempt to simply improve the human mind or give the mind power or control over things is a decoy. And there are many in the world today who have had no previous experience, and these are the decoys they respond to. They can have greater mind power, greater mind control. They can get machines which will tell them which wave they're in. And they can control this wave and permit that wave, but always they're working on the level of material things. There are no brain waves in the Christ mind. There are no brain waves in the Christ mind. The Christ mind is the only goal which reveals the immortality of our being. Now, with that goal in mind, he can say to them, verily I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Now, you can't say that with mind dynamics. That has nothing to do with heaven opening. You can't say that with new brainwave power. All of that has to do with improving the human scene, still looking for a Messiah, a human improvement. The Christ message is not that level. The Christ message promises that if you will surrender to the Christ mind, that heaven on earth will open up. And so, for those of you who may have been in some way curious as to why Joel is continuously stressing that the mind of man cannot know God, it is because all through the last 100 years there have been movements of the mind, and they're neatly dressed up. They make very pretty packages, and to the human mind they are very impressive. You see, the human mind is made of the same substance as the mind that wants to impress it. And having no reality in God, this human mind is easily swayed by a higher type of human mind. And so the malpractice is always from one human mind to another. And yet, there is truth in the fact that various mind movements can improve your human life. Never think they cannot. They can. It's simply that we are not interested in that level. We are interested in heaven opening up. We're interested in the Christ message, not the message of a human mind. We're interested in the Christ message, which reveals the immortality of being in the now, confident, as the disciples were learning to be, that in the attainment of whatever Christ can teach us, all that appears in our mortal world will reflect the perfection of spirit, which is our natural self, the self that we were before the world. And so we're not shortchanging ourselves by going out for those things in the human sphere which we possess in total abundance in the invisible spiritual sphere already. Rather, we are seeking the kingdom of God through the Christ mind. And although those in the human world, through mind methods, may show very quick progress, though ours may be slow, we know where the God power is, and there's no God power in a human mind. We're going back for a moment now into that meditation which takes us into the realization that now all time is in my being, and my being is in all time. Anything that takes place in time, you will feel after a bit, is just a fragment that cannot be the fullness of your being. Nothing of you takes place in a moment of time. Those little fragments begin to cease to have importance the infinity of your being as one infinite self begins to be a reality in your consciousness, you see yourself as an infinite infant in timelessness, little temporary things cease to have any reality to you or meaning whatsoever. They are merely the outpicturing of a momentary state of consciousness. Just little signs along the way to push you back into being the Lamb, the Infinite One in the infinite time. And although this exercise is not productive right away, it suddenly bounces up when you least expect it, and you find a great upsurge of energy and strength. Without any thought on your part about it, it just happens. Suddenly there you are, and you can't explain it. You feel strong, and you feel a rightness of things. And it's because the infinite, which you have in some way touched, begins to flow through all time into this moment, returning the bread you have cast upon the waters of time. All of the infinite flows through all time into this second, into each passing second, lifting you to a higher level of consciousness. And what you had thought was but a barren meditation turns right around and yields to you the fruitage of that fasting from the changing, passing time. The infinite becomes very alive to you. You find the meaning of your limited human strength reaching out to your infinite, omnipotent self. You find that infinite vision is the reality of your infinite self. You even begin to feel a new kind of way of seeing with the eyes, something at first very unexplainable, as if something is going to come through and you're going to see something through the eye looking out into the world, instead of it being a vision in a trance or in a sleep. You'll be wide awake, and right through your eye from within will come a new kind of vision from that which is timeless and infinite, changing your vision. It will be called seeing within, but it will appear without. You will understand why the disciples say they saw the Master, spirited up, ascended. You will begin to understand why they could see the Master in the garden, in the tomb, out of the tombstone. You begin to understand inner vision only comes through the Christ mind. This new level of hearing comes through the Christ mind. All the impossibles, all the surprises pour through from the timeless because you have contacted that timeless by being in it as I. I move in the timeless. I stand there before the tomb of Lazarus. I move on the hills of Galilee. Invisible to all human eyes, I stand there. And you are then present where it's happening. And you find the happening is happening in your consciousness. First, as the invisible happening, which appears in the outer world as a physical happening. It happens in your consciousness before it even comes to the thoughts of Nathaniel under the tree. And so you know what Nathanael is thinking. You are unlocking the gates of heaven on earth by stepping out of the finite mind in time. And you're doing it consciously by giving yourself to that which is timeless in your meditation, making it a point to consciously dwell in the knowledge that I, the I of me, is not a time creature. The I of me is present everywhere. I'm standing behind the pages of history, standing behind geography. And all of history and geography is happening in the I of you. It isn't something you consciously detail out. You simply rest in the I of you, in the knowledge that it is not in time, but all time is in the I of you. That becomes a higher level of meditation, and it will lift you into another firmament of consciousness, where you don't take thought, where there's no thought to take. You are thought itself. And then you're absent from the temporary body sense. You're absent from the temporary brain sense. And you're in the Christ mind, which knoweth all things. You're in the tree of life. But don't be impatient. Don't try to force your way. Just be out of time consciously, and you will find that timelessness will come knocking at your door in time with its treasures. And they will not be graven images. You're above words, above thought, above the human mind. You're in your Father's kingdom. And this Christ mind, which lives in heaven on earth, opens for you the gates of omniscience, of omnipotence, of omnipresence as realities. Don't overdo it, but do it frequently enough, at least once a day for a while, until you can begin to feel the fruitage of it, the great surging strength and energy that begins to come and lift you. Every piece that is missing begins to appear in its proper place, and you find there are no more parts, it's all one. The jigsaw puzzle disappears, and it's one consciousness expressing as you. Try it when you're trying to heal a friend. Just get out of time, that's all. And let timelessness show you that the only healing was in time, which never exists in God. There was nothing to heal except in the belief that time was there. And let the healing take place through that Christ timelessness, because then it will take place when it should. It won't take somebody and throw them out of a hospital when they're not prepared to sustain themselves. It'll first build their consciousness within. Everything will move on a perfect schedule. We've all wanted the instantaneous healings. Sometimes they're bad for us. They take us right back to where we were, without any knowledge, without any experience, without any development, without any preparation for coming back. Let the invisible spirit do all the work. Just rest there. And you'll find that healings, instead of being just instantaneous, will be with great depth, and they will be permanent. Everything necessary to maintain the healing once it appears will be established in the invisible and come forth in the visible as a continuity. There won't be any reversion. There won't be a year later or 6 months saying, oh, we didn't get it all out, now we got to do it again. That won't happen in spiritual healing. It won't happen outside of time. This has been a somewhat strange experience, perhaps, for some of you. We're going to rest now for a few minutes. But it's a preparation for several other things that will be coming to us in the next few weeks. We'll be back in about 5 minutes. Well, I guess we more or less have covered the 2 hours, but let's look at Daniel, because we really need the whole picture. We're in the 7th verse of Daniel for the moment, the 7th chapter, 13th verse. And then was Daniel brought in before the king. Whoops. No, he wasn't. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heavens, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Now this is the eye speaking through Daniel, prophesying that I, the Son of Man, will come. Do you see how it paves its own way? Daniel is the prophet. He's just a channel for I. And I am the Son of Man. And I announce through Daniel that I, the Son of Man, will be brought before the Ancient of Days. And there was given him dominion and glory. The Son of Man is Christ in you. And this is the prophecy of dominion and glory to Christ in you, and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him, Christ in every one. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away. Do you see? This is the announcement of the inevitability of Christ consciousness on the earth. His kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed. And then you come right back to this, and I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open. First the Son of Man announces it will appear, and now it appears visibly as the only begotten, and its name is Jesus Christ. And now in person in front of us, it says, heaven shall open to you if you follow me, if you come and see where I dwell. And so whoever goes for Christ to see where Christ dwells is going to follow the Son of Man. That becomes the goal, the Son of Man in you realized. Come and see. But you have to go into the invisible. You have to leave behind your human mind, which cannot see. If it could, it would be seeing. It cannot see, and so you have to leave it to come and see the Son of Man, the immortal self. And this too, that heaven will open to all. I think it says all. Hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God descending and ascending upon the Son of Man. It doesn't say all, but nonetheless, this again is the announcement of Christ consciousness on earth. Heaven opening is Christ consciousness. First, it's an invisible self, and now it's a visible Jesus Christ self, and it's going to disappear again. And these poor disciples who have followed this man, they're going to say, where will we go now? He's gone again. Within you. He's training them for 3 years to go within them. We're being trained to go within ourselves to Christ, which means to release ourselves from the human mind. To have faith in that invisible mind which we cannot see and which the brain cannot encompass. And so the Son of Man in you, Christ, is announced all the way through the Bible and before in Enoch, and then in the Gospel of John, showing the thread of continuity that Christ consciousness in you is your hope of glory. Christ consciousness in you is immortality realized. And that's why Joel's chapter is so important. There are no graven images in Christ consciousness. And therefore thou shalt have no graven images. Because if you have graven images, you're just holding yourself out of Christ consciousness. Let's see a couple of these passages in Joel. If God is ever to function in your experience, thereby preventing disasters of earth from touching you, it can come about only through making contact with the Father within, to the point of realization. And then on the next page he continues, over and over again, you will return to your inner communion. One day it will dawn upon you that you need never go anywhere except within yourself. Heaven will open up unto you. It's the same, isn't it? The Son of Man will come unto you. Christ realized. Now then, if we don't have signs at the moment, even though some of us have signs, what of it? What if we don't have signs? Aren't there enough signs all throughout the Bible and its continuity showing the inevitability of it? As you stand back and see the magnitude of the announcement that the consciousness of the world is changing to Christ consciousness, isn't it clear that we don't need personal signs anymore? That we can have confidence in the truth of it without a little angel coming on your doorstep tomorrow morning? That it's simply a matter of dwelling in the conscious awareness that the Son of Man isn't coming any time at all to you. The Son of Man is your name. The Son of Man is your identity. Not born of the flesh. The Christ self realized is all that can come as a realization. But the Christ self is already come. And that's what has been being said all the way through here. That's what they've been saying. the realization that the Son of Man has come, is present, is the identity, is the self. That's all that's being delayed, the realization of that truth. And that's why you learn living in the now means the acceptance that the Christ self, the Son of Man, which is promised throughout the Bible, isn't a promise at all. It's a statement of fact. The Son of Man, I am. Before Abraham was, I am the Son of Man. That self, not born of man, not born of woman, not born of flesh, realized is putting on the garment of immortality. And so Joel says, all you've got to do is go within, meaning within your identity, within your conscious awareness that the self promised all through the Bible is the self I am. And the false mind, which I have clung to as if my very life depended upon it, is the very mind which has been denying that I'm that self. But it instead has been building its own images of what it thinks I am. I don't have to attain that self. I simply have to give up the mind which denies that I am that self. And then I'm in the Christ mind, which knows who I am. That's quite different than brain waves. That's quite different than mind dynamics. It's the Christ message, the Christ mind, which is infinite, which knoweth the Father, which knoweth your needs, and which takes us from Mosaic law, karmic law, cause and effect law, material law, to the grace of the Son of Man realized. Graven images are the sign of a human mind. And they can be either a wooden crucifix or a personal ambition. Any human thought is a graven image, whether it's a good thought or a bad thought. Human thoughts are graven images. Divine thoughts come through the Christ mind. The water baptism of John the Baptist was to prepare us, the preliminary purification to let through the light of the Christ mind. And so the rebirth is when the light of the Christ mind comes through that prepared consciousness, and the Son of Man stands where you are. I think there's one passage here of Joel's that's very important at this point. Jesus could not tell everyone, he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. He could not tell them to stop looking for God. He could not say, you have found him, you are looking at him. They'd think he was crazy at that stage. But that's the truth. You've been looking at God all your life. You have found him. Everywhere you are, God is, and only God. And the Son of Man is he who knows that only God is here where I am. And the Son of Man is that God individualized as my being, realized when I am standing outside of the human mind, which has imprisoned me in a human body, in a human environment, in a human world, standing in my timeless self, and there I am, the timeless, infinite Son of God revealed. Ever have been, ever will be, but can never know it except in that Christ mind, which knows the reality of being. Not in the mind which makes graven images, which projects the idea of evil changing to good, or even that mind which projects the idea of a mortal being who somehow will be transformed spiritually into an immortal one. There are movements that depend completely on that false belief that the mortal flesh will be spiritualized into immortal flesh. And it never has happened, and it never will. That which is non-existent cannot be spiritualized. Don't think you're going to be spiritualized into immortality. The presence of God where you stand as the Son of Man now is the invisible immortal self, and it needs no spiritualization. It is spirit itself. And it is the reality that stands there, and it has no opposite. The concept we have entertained about ourselves can never be spiritualized. It has to be crucified. We don't crucify the body. We crucify the concept of body. We crucify all graven images, all beliefs. And as you crucify the belief, it will appear to human sense as a transformation. But it isn't. It's the dissolution of a concept. Well, I think our friend Joel and our friend Jesus working together have got us off their first chapter now. We're ready to see what it means for heaven to open up. And so next week they've invited us to a little wedding in the city of Cana. And again the theme will repeat itself. Have ye that mind that was in Christ Jesus? Recognize the Son of Man where you are as your invisible identity. And whatever in the outer says it isn't so, that's because you're in a false sense of mind. Don't change the outer. Don't worry about what says out there it isn't so. Get to that mind which says it isn't so, and recognize that mind isn't so. That mind is Mr. Serpent, the two-headed friend, who talks out of two sides of his mouth day in and day out, good and bad. That mind is going to try to keep you or push you right out of the Garden of Eden, although you are the Son of God. We'll go into Joel's graven image chapter a little more thoroughly next time. But at our wedding, I think we may have some new developments on it. God has no human children. God doesn't want any. Never made any. The Son of Man, the spiritual child of God, has been walking this earth longer than any of us have been in mortal bodies. And your soul is ever lifting you to that perception when you can see that you have passed the midpoint of return. You've identified your goal. You've identified the liar. You've identified most of the problems that beset you. And now it's a matter of forming habits of consciousness and restraining yourself from the bad habits of consciousness, which we talk about, and developing a new way of consciously standing out of time. A new way of consciously seeing that the Son of Man is not in space. Space is in the Son of Man. The Son of Man is not moving. Motion is in the Son of Man. All motion, all dimension, all space, all time is in the reality of you. You're not in it. And you have to stand out of it in that Christ mind, or even stand out of it, and then you'll find you're in the Christ mind. And these are exercises. They don't turn the world upside down in a day, but they implant themselves so gradually and subtly that suddenly there's a power. It really is there, and it begins to surge. It isn't released by your conscious thinking. It's released by stepping out of that conscious thinker. You know, we're all really an expression of the world mind in the human form, and an expression of the divine mind as the divine image. And you've never had a thought that could know you. Your thought cannot know you. The thought can never know the thinker. And as long as we're the thought and try to want to know the thinker, it's impossible. We have to get out of the thought until we're revealed as the thinker, the divine thinker. Pleasant journey home, and thanks very much.